We started off this Tuesday show with a bang. We thank you so much for being with us. Spent a lot of time talking about Ezekiel Elliott, Matt Stafford, and a little bit of Tom Brady there at the end of that first hour. If you missed any part of it, you can subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. Larry Lage of the AP Sports covers all things Michigan, whether it's Michigan University, the Detroit Lions, MSU, whatever it is. He covers it all out there. We're going to talk with him about Matt Stafford, maybe throw in a few Wolverine questions as well coming up in just a couple of minutes. One story we didn't get to yesterday, and I'm glad we didn't. We'll touch on it at 1:30. We were going to mention that Art Briles has gotten a job with the CFL.
Well, had one.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much. I guess it's a good thing that we neglected that story yesterday, because now it's taking on an entirely different tone. Actually, he doesn't have a job with the CFL. We'll touch on that at 1:30, whether that was the right call. Also, really bad look. We brought the story yesterday about the Rangers-Astros series moving. We didn't get into the specifics. We didn't have them at the time. We just knew that they were moving to Tropicana. Well, the specifics came out after our show, and it looks awfully bad for the Texas Rangers.
I agree.
We'll touch on that this hour as well. Usually we have a couple of sports stations on in front of us, SportsCenter and some of the ESPN talk shows or whatever it may be. Over the last few days, we've had one of the sports shows on and CNN on the other channel. And can we show some love to J.J. Watt and what he's done with the power of social media? He went out there and, you know, did Facebook posts and Instagram posts and all of that stuff about donating to the American Red Cross to Hurricane Harvey reliefs. And they had initially set a goal of $1 million. And they surpassed it so fast, he was like, yo, we've got to change the goal. It's $1.5 million. They eclipsed $1.5 million and had to make it $2 million. They eclipsed $2 million so fast that the goal now, just in the last couple of days, has jumped from $1 million to now it's $3 million.
That is crazy and awesome all at once.
It's as frustrating as social media can be sometimes, this is where some good can come from it. And he deserves, because we spent all that time talking about Ezekiel Elliott and what type of person he is. We spent that time talking about Matthew Stafford and what type of player he is. We spent a few minutes talking about Tom Brady and who his associates are. Well, let's look at an athlete who's doing nothing but good, and that's J.J. Watt. Like, I desperately want to talk about J.J. Watt and his impact on Houston's defense and whether he's going to be healthy coming into the season. That doesn't even seem remotely relevant at this point.
Right.
And now I think there's a lot of consideration that this fourth preseason game between the Texans and the Cowboys may actually not be played.
Which is entirely fine.
I think it's far more impactful if it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who needs it?
Right.
I mean, some guys need it. That's not fair. Coaches probably need it to look at certain players.
Yeah.
But with these two teams,
there's other ways to decide that.
There are.
Yeah.
These guys could hold a joint practice
somewhere.
I don't know when. I mean, I know we're the season starts a week from Thursday, but
yeah.
I think it'd be pretty impactful. Now, right now, the plan is just to move the game to Dallas, and Jerry has actually just kind of backed off and said, look, Houston, we'll do whatever you want. Whatever you guys want, we'll go along. The stadium is available for you, however you want to manage this. Actually, the Texas Rangers could take some notes from what the Dallas Cowboys have been doing, but they deserve what J.J. Watt has done. Can we mention – we mentioned Leslie Alexander yesterday,
mm-hmm.
owner of the Houston Rockets, donated $1 million.
He's
changed that.
Mm-hmm.
It's now $4
million. Wow. And so, Chris Paul was donating. I mean, so many people have jumped on this, which is really important.
Yeah, so kudos to those guys down there, to J.J. Watt, to everybody who has jumped on J.J. Watt's social media. Or, you know, I think Good Day. Like, we did our own telethon. I saw many members of the Sacramento Kings organization, man in the phones.
Well, I think it's Justin Jackson and De'Aaron Fox, both of, you know, Houston natives. So I think they're having like a little mini press conference. I think it might be tomorrow. I think the Kings had a release.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're going to maybe talk about their own little plan or something that they want to address about that.
There's a lot of ways you can donate. You know them all by now, I'm sure. So kudos to everybody who is, Let's hit this Texas Rangers story right now, because we're trying to get Larry Lage on the phone. Chris Verlotte is trying to get him on right now so we could talk about the Matthew Stafford contract extension. So the Texas Rangers, we had mentioned that the series between the Rangers and the Astros was being moved to St. Petersburg, Florida. Mm-hmm. Came out later that the Rangers didn't want to swap. The Astros had just gone to them and said, hey, can we flip? Because we have another series later. Can we just flip these? And the Astros apparently said no. And here's part of the reason they said. They said, we didn't feel it was right to give our fans 24 hours notice that their tickets in late September were now good this week. We were willing to play this series anywhere the Astros and MLB wanted, including here in Arlington. People fail to leave out an important part of a quote to change the context mm-hmm. of it. That's very true. But when he says we were willing to play the series here in Arlington, they weren't willing to give up their series later in the year because they didn't want to have four road series to end the season.
Come on now.
So there are people, a lot of people listening, who have donated money that they probably can't afford to donate. And there are people this morning who probably have donated time that they don't have time to donate. In times like this, sometimes we inconvenience ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's
what
okay.
these times are for. And where I think as Americans generally we're pretty good at.
You got these guys you mentioned your family in Louisiana
yeah.
driving their boats into
yeah.
Houston to go on these you have people
heroic rescues.
Yeah. You think they woke up thinking, "Yeah, I'm going to have to rescue somebody in my boat today."
Right.
No. We inconvenience ourselves sometimes when our brothers need our help.
Yep.
When our brothers and sisters need our help. They're really worried about the pennant race here. They're worried about giving their fans 24 hours notice. It seems to be a thing in the NFL. Why don't you poll your fans? Ask your fans how they feel about you looking like a bunch of jackasses now while J.J. Watt is doing this and the Houston Rockets are doing this. Y'all didn't want to just flip. No one asked you to give up anything.
Right.
Just flip it. And by the way, who's to say that when that series rolls around late next month, that series would even be able to be played
right.
in Houston. You very well could have gotten the home and home that you wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
But you look far less like a tool if it comes about on accident than if you say, oh, no, sorry, guys, we're unwilling to do that. That's unfair to our fans.
Yeah, and all the goodwill you build up on that. I mean, it's just human decency. It's the right thing to do. It's thinking of others before yourself. All those kind of things. And they're not doing it.
And the Astros were obviously very upset about it. Reed Ryan had said, we went to the Rangers and said, hey, let's switch series. You guys have our home series. We'll take your home series. They rejected that, didn't want to do it. The Rangers wanted us to play the next 3 days at their place, but they didn't want to trade series with us. They wanted all six of our games at their park.
Agreed.
So instead, we're all going to Florida.
Yeah. Is that what you wanted, Texas?
Come on.
Yeah.
Absolute silliness. Absolute silliness. So in light of that, again, big ups to everybody,
yeah.
who, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's clothes, whether it's food, whatever it may be, good for you. Texas Rangers, shame on you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I guess we weren't able to get Larry Ladge. I got to say, don't let me try to book interviews anymore. Every time I try to book it, Chris, you're in charge of interviews from now on. Take the little black book, book all the interviews, because every time I try to do it, something goes wrong.
I don't know.
I even put the two times on it.
Yeah.
I put 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern. Does that work for you? Yes, 4 p.m. Eastern for sure.
Well,
I quit. I'm freaking awful at this job.
Him. We'll check in.
I'm absolutely awful at this job. So the gist of the conversation with Larry was about, I'm curious, we have discussed our reaction to Matt Stafford's contract extension. And at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, you know, with Matt Stafford now being the highest paid player in the NFL, can we unanimously agree he is not the best player in the NFL?
Easy. Yeah.
He's
easy.
Not even the best at his position.
No. Nope.
So here's something to think about for the next 50 minutes. Who should be?
Mm-hmm.
Who should be the highest paid player in the NFL? We'll get to that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. If anything happens between now and the time we leave you at 3 o'clock regarding Ezekiel Elliott in that hearing that we do believe is going on right now, we, of course, will bring that to you. We don't expect any information to come out today. We expect something probably tomorrow, this was believed to only last today. Jason Garrett had said earlier this morning they think Ezekiel Elliott will be back at practice tomorrow. If he's not, obviously, or if the hearing is still going on, obviously he'll be excused from practice, but he's going to be a part of the entire hearing that is going on.
Yeah, and on the Stafford side of things, I hope we still get Larry, because you asked what's the reaction, maybe even there. Because,
that's where I was going, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we would all have that opinion here when I'm even thinking of if the Kings kept DeMarcus and he got to the point where they were going to have to pay him that, and other people would go, wow, DeMarcus got this huge contract. Internally here, what would people react? We'd get the people that say, well, yeah, he's the best big man in the league. He deserves that. Compared to what these other guys are getting, he should get that. Then you'd have others go, I don't know that I'd pay him 200 and something million. So I bet you're getting some of that in Detroit with the Stafford example. But I think the best way to put it was what you said earlier, in that what is their option? You don't want to be put in a spot where you're without a quarterback. They drafted him number one several years ago. He's played closer to that all-pro type of guy than not. He's lost some receivers. He actually did okay last year. And, yeah, it's a tricky one. I think you have to do it. But what is the popular belief in Detroit with Lions fans or just people in the area? Are they for it? Are they against it? I don't know if you're totally against it. You just might think, is this the best idea? Because they don't have better options.
Right, and that's what it all boils down to, right, with the quarterback position. We've had a couple of text messages here coming in saying, well, the idea is to win a Super Bowl, right? Like, you want to invest all this money into a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Well, yeah, that's absolutely the case, but you never know that if you have the guy. And
right.
When you have a guy who can consistently throw for 4,500 yards, 5,000 yards, you got to pay him.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers has been the guy for the Chargers, now LH. They may never win a Super Bowl, but it wasn't like they did the wrong thing by continuing to see if they could win with him.
We found Larry.
Yeah.
Larry Lage, the Associated Press, covers all things Michigan sports. So, Larry, we're going to bring you right into the conversation we were having, and the question that Jason just posed is, how are the Detroit Lions fans reacting to Matthew Stafford's new deal?
You know, I think mixed emotions, because on one hand, Lions fans are happy that the franchise quarterback is under contract for another 6 years, and yet they look at this team and they look at what the Lions have done, and they haven't done much. So it's kind of a question of, is Matthew Stafford the answer? It's more like, who are they going to put around him? Mm-hmm. So, I don't think people are necessarily popping champagne bottles around here, but they're also, not disappointed. The Lions kind of had to do this, and they paid Stafford what the market bears. I mean, whoever is the best quarterback that comes up for a contract, whether it's Derek Carr or Matthew Stafford or maybe Drew Brees next, is going to cash in like this.
Yeah, it does make sense, Larry, for him and for the Lions to do it, because what are their options? But I'm curious, where you rate him? Is he top 5, top 10, top 8, 12? Well, like, where is Matthew Stafford amongst the league? Not money-wise now, obviously, but talent-wise.
I would put him in the maybe 10 to 15 range.
Yeah,
I think he's not an elite quarterback. He does not have a good record against teams with winning records, especially those on the road. And yet, football is probably the ultimate team sport. He's never had a running game. And his offensive line has been shaky at best. I think last year was one of his most impressive years. He loses Calvin Johnson, has an awful running game, and was really quietly in the MVP conversation until he busted up his finger and was hurt, the last four or five games of the season.
Larry Lage of the Associated Press there in Michigan with us here on the Lowdown. You mentioned Calvin Johnson there, Larry, and we kind of speculated, you said he had one of his most impressive years last year. How much do you think the fact that Calvin Johnson wasn't there and he still proved to be really successful and the team proved to be really successful without him, how much do you think that played in to what we saw come out of that contract negotiation yesterday?
I'm not sure it was much of a factor. I mean, I think regardless, the Lions were going to want to extend him, and I think Stafford wanted to stay. And so I don't think it was a factor at all. I mean, I think this is a day that both sides expected to come, and everybody paying attention expected to happen. It was just a question of how many million are we talking about? And the how many million we're talking about is 10 more million than Derek Carr got over 5 years, or 2 million more a year making him a $27 million a year player, which is just staggering. But, hey, that's what the market will bear.
Was there ever a doubt that this would come together? I mean, we're finally here, but there was no risk of losing him, was there?
No, and of course you've got the whole franchise tag option where, you know, this could have strung along and they paid him $30 million a year for a year or two or three or, you know, however that shakes out. But, you know, they didn't want to go there. Both sides didn't want to go there. So this was not a surprise. This was expected. It was just kind of a matter of, you know, what are the final numbers going to be? And 135 over five is where they settled. Both sides actually, both sides didn't talk. I guess they did. We didn't hear from Tom Condon, but Stafford and Bob Quinn, the general manager and the coach, spoke today and talked about how great negotiations were. There weren't, you know, there wasn't, didn't get dirty. It didn't get tricky. So this was going to happen, and it was kind of cute. Stafford's wife, Kelly, who has a big social media presence, was there with their two young twin daughters cooing away, and Stafford was asked, you know, what are you going to buy with your extra money? And he said diapers. So
there you go.
That's a little spoiler. I'll probably be leading with that when I write my story here and after I get off the phone with you.
This is an exclusive.
Yeah.
A lowdown exclusive. Yeah, excited about that. So, okay, so we've discussed, you know, Stafford, the contract extension. Now, what about your Detroit Lions this year? What do you expect from them?
You know, I think they're going to hover around 500. I think, like most of the NFL, they've got holes. And on any given Sunday, unless they're playing the Patriots, you know, they got a chance to win and certainly could lose. If you forced me to make a prediction, I'd call them at 7-9. They've got some key players that are injured or coming off injuries, such as Taylor Decker, Eric Ebron, Ziggy Ansah. Those guys, you know, are really key parts. Theo Riddick's another one. You know, I hate to say if they're healthy, but if they're healthy, I could see it being a 10-win team. But because, you know, health is always a factor in the NFL and you basically count on some injuries happening, I think they're a 7-9 or so type team.
Wow. So yeah, just to be clear, Matthew Stafford is going to collect, once his pen touches that paper, $60.5 million to go 7-9 this year.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Thanks. I was on a sabbatical a couple of years ago at the University of Michigan. It's called a Knight Wallace Fellowship, where you get to take whatever classes you want at the University of Michigan, no credit, no grades, and just learn. And one of the things I learned in an MBA class is, what's your best alternative to a negotiated agreement? What was the Lions' alternative? To turn it over to Jake Rudock or try to be the Cleveland Browns and be awful and hope the next quarterback works out? They really didn't have an option. So they've got to, you know, build a team around Stafford. And, you know, they're trying to do that on the offensive line. They got T.J. Lang from the Packers. They got Rick Wagner from the Ravens. You know, if those guys do what they're supposed to do, and the younger guys that are at center on the left side, including Taylor Decker, last year's first-round pick from Ohio State, you know, if those guys do what they're supposed to do, you know, this team looks really good on offense. I think they lack some playmakers on defense. That's one thing they tried to address in the draft with Davis at linebacker and Tabor at corner. But, you know, we saw up close how much better the New England Patriots are. 24-0 in the first quarter the other day. It was very impressive, and you kind of saw the have and the have-nots of the NFL. But, you know, let's face it, other than a few elite teams in the NFL, you know, a lot of teams are hovering around, you know, some level of mediocrity. So it's not like the Lions are way, you know, far away from the pack. It's just that the pack is just kind of hovering around, you know, Parityville and the league.
How about that division then? I mean, you can't say, we don't know for certainty, but it seems like Chicago, Minnesota, you're mentioning the Lions. I mean, is this just Green Bay's to win easily?
You know, I think they're the team to beat. You know, they've got the best quarterback with Aaron Rodgers, who always makes plays. But their offensive line is, you know, kind of in shambles compared to the year ago. They didn't want to lose T.J. Lang, for one. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is tough to bet against. I've seen him play enough times and beat the Lions in Detroit that, you know, I think they are the team to beat. And I think the other three could probably shake up you know, roll out the dice and they could, you know, come up any way, those other three. But, yes, I would say Green Bay would be the team to beat, but I don't think they're that great. You know, look around the NFL. I mean, how many great teams are there? I mean, New England, obviously. I guess we'll say Atlanta based on last year and what they look like on paper. But, you know, I don't think you can name right now five teams that you think are really good and a cut above the rest. And you'd put money on it in, you know, Tahoe or Reno.
Yeah, I that's fair. I think people listening would say the Raiders, but I know there's a lot of skepticism around them. The Detroit Lions paid their quarterback while the University of Michigan has not named theirs. Michigan and Florida.
I will, though.
Okay, all right, let's hear it. Michigan and Florida, Saturday, another scoop. Who's going to be the starting quarterback?
Well, I mean, Wilton Spate. If anybody but Wilton Spate, who was last year's starter and a solid one, is not the starter, I think anybody paying attention to Ann Arbor would absolutely fall over.
What's Harbaugh not naming the starter for?
Because, you know, he's playing games, as led with yesterday. And he would also say Florida hasn't announced their quarterback. So, you know, he comes from the NFL where, you know, you keep your enemies close. And, you know, he's not going to say anything he doesn't have to say. And he kind of likes tweaking people.
No.
You know, that's his deal, right? You saw that out there in the Bay Area. So, you know, and Florida hasn't announced their quarterback. And they've got apparently three or four possibilities. But the really silly thing is we don't have a Michigan 2017 roster, and we won't until tomorrow. We covered the spring game, and literally there was no printed roster or one on the website. I mean, that's just silly. But that's Jim Harbaugh.
No, welcome to covering Jim Harbaugh. Yes or no, before we let you go, Larry, Michigan beats Ohio State this year?
No.
Yeah, attaboy. Larry, I'm so glad we caught up with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. We'll have to catch up as the seasons kick off here.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, that's Larry Lage, the AP writer for all things Michigan sports. We're back with more of the Lowdown next. This is up there, too.
Oh, no, this is the Matthew Stafford. It's outside the top 10.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Dirty Diana's out of the top 10. Yeah. Jake, get out of here.
No way. You can come up with 10 better Michael Jackson.
No, Dirty Diana's top 10.
Oh.
There's no way Dirty Diana's out
it's
of the top
good.
10.
It's Matthew Stafford.
No, it's not. Don't you dare. It is not Matthew Stafford.
Okay, we're going to have to come up with a top 10 before the show is over. It's a good song. It's
you
not
got
in the top 10. I think I can get 10. Misspoke on that, but I think I feel good.
I think you're going to want that one back.
Think so?
Oh, yeah. That's top 10. Easy.
Easy.
Easy top.
Is it backside
no,
of the top
No, I think
10?
It's easy top 10.
Okay.
I'm flirting with top 5.
Oh, no.
Are you counting Jackson 5 songs?
No.
Are we counting?
I wasn't.
No. We're not counting Jackson
5. Okay, all right, all right.
Michael Jackson only.
Well, the last I already forgot the last one we played. Easy top 10.
Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Remember the Time.
We played that one?
We did. Is Dirty Diana better than Remember the Time? Because the answer is yes.
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is better than Remember the Time.
Chris, is Dirty Diana in the top 10?
Yes.
Like 8, 9, 10 in there?
Late.
Yeah, okay.
10.
Maybe I'll find a reason to put it.
Late 10.
Maybe it'll be around there. Maybe I'll have it right outside. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Top 10 my ass, according to the text line. You guys got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. It's good. I like it. It's just not top 10.
All right, that's what we're doing then.
All right,
We're putting together a top 10 Michael Jackson songs. We celebrate his 59th birthday.
Okay.
The 1140. You got me all. I can't believe. I can't believe you came back with that line.
Yeah.
The 1140 Street Team, sponsored by Loyal Roots Apparel, will be at Buffalo Wild Wings. They'll be listening to Dirty Diana. Come find the 1140 tent for awesome prizes from 7 to 9 p.m. That's Buffalo Wild Wings, 1168 Galleria Boulevard in Roseville. Again, that is going on tonight. You want some more info?
Yeah, I just looked at the list. Yeah, I feel more than comfortable with my statement now.
Dirty Diana, easy top 10 here, according to the text line.
Okay, but then when you start to list them, I don't think it is.
Now, are we saying the best or our favorites?
Well, both, because my favorites are the best. It's just a scientific fact.
I would probably say that my favorites aren't the best.
That I don't think anybody who knows you is surprised by that. You have B-sides only, I'm sure. You probably have Michael Jackson songs I haven't even heard of.
Dangerous is his greatest album of all time, hands down.
It's good.
Can he leave?
He should leave.
Yeah.
But if I asked him to leave every time he says something stupid, I'd ask him to leave before the show started when he said Fast and Furious 5 was The Rock's greatest movie or something like that.
All right.
So what is your favorite? So what are you going, like, four Dangerous songs right out the gate with Michael Jackson?
No, but I got to think about it. I got to get my 10 together. And
all right.
I got to put them together. It's probably going to be like 6 from Dangerous.
Even though I'm not a huge Michael Jackson fan, Dirty Diana is in my top 10 because I used to sing it with my daughter Diana whenever I changed her diaper. Alan, that's just weird, bro. That's just weird. Damn it, Alan. J. Ross.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Oh, sweet. I got fired.
Dirty Diana.
Top 10, they're convinced?
Dirty Diana. Sure. Top 10. Top 5 if you count the music video. That's coming from the text nation. Text line
they're
never wrong.
Some will be there.
Then the next one said Dirty Diana. Nope. All right. Okay. We're going to put together our top 10.
Okay.
You put together your top 10. You can text them 44-1140. You can call 339-1140, whatever you want. But I guarantee you more for Lotta's a hipster.
They knew me. They would know that's the opposite of what
that's very much true. And then I guarantee you Dirty Diana is in more top 10s than is not.
Okay. That might be fair.
All right. A story we didn't get to yesterday, and I guess it's a good thing that we didn't. I had some thoughts on – I've never hidden my disgust for Art Briles, and have always thought always said I would be disgusted because I fully expected him to get an NFL job.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good coach. And the NFL only cares about morality clauses or whatever when it comes to their players. They don't care about it when their coaches appear to be complete dirtbags. But Art Briles was, I guess, hired or at least was going to be added to the Hamilton Tiger Cats of one Canadian Football League. And according to Hamilton Tiger Cats CEO Scott Mitchell, there was a tsunami of negativity from fans and media in the United States as one of the main reasons why the Canadian Football League team reversed its decision and will now not hire former Baylor coach.
How do you feel about that part of it, though? Because that part almost bothers me a little bit. You should have been aware of that. And then if you're letting that sway you, I mean, you're hiring him because you think he's a good coach.
You have, one, either you're totally tone deaf.
Mm-hmm. Which is the case here, seemingly.
Or you have no spine. One or the other.
Can it be both on this one?
Sure, I guess. Yeah. I guess it absolutely could be both.
Because I think they were tone deaf, so they're thinking, well, he is a good coach. He's got a good track record as a coach. We're going to hire him. You get the influx of negativity, then where's your backbone? And you say, well, you're right, we can't hire him.
If you were to this is probably the only scenario, at least like off the top of my head, that I can think of that I'd be fine with Art Briles coaching again. He shouldn't – if he's in the NFL, I'd be disgusted because the NFL acts all high and mighty when it comes to their players, but they're going to let a guy who oversaw a program that resulted in – God knows what happening under his watch.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to ignore that because he's a coach? Okay. I'd have a problem with that. I'd have a huge problem if this guy ever coached college sports again.
Probably a bigger one there. Right?
Massive. Yeah. That's by far the worst. And I would lump high school in with that because you're dealing with young men again. You're dealing with, I mean, in high school, you're dealing with kids.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that. CFL? Okay. He has a right to earn a living. I would have been fine with that. I still think he's a scumbag, and I still think he covered up a lot more than we'll ever know about at Baylor University.
How about like a coordinator, though, in the NFL? Are you okay with
no,
that? No. No?
Absolutely not. When do we draw the line on what's okay? Like, again, I wouldn't have a problem with him having a job in the NFL. He's not going to be a head coach in the NFL. I wouldn't have a problem if he was a coordinator in the NFL. If the NFL didn't act all high, are you going to suspend him like you did
Tressel?
Jim Tressel?
Right.
Are you going to do that? Is that because that's a thing?
Yeah. Didn't do much to Pete Carroll.
You right. Know. Why we pick and choose? The NFL picks and chooses. That's why Jerry Jones is pissed off. That's why the Ezekiel Elliott case is baffling. That's why that's why the Deflategate case drove everybody nuts. That's why Patriots fans hate Roger Goodell. That's why Cowboy fans are going to hate Roger Goodell. There's no consistency in anything that the NFL does.
Yeah.
So I would have a problem with them preaching this all high. It's why the Ray Lewis thing bothers me so much. It's why what Steve Bisciotti said bothers me so much, what he said about Colin Kaepernick, while being, you know, saying I'm worried about my brand, this brand of Ravens football. Really? Ray Rice and Ray Lewis? You're worried about Colin Kaepernick. The inconsistency of the NFL is what bothers me.
Yeah.
And allowing Art Briles, again, I think we only know the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Baylor University. And I believe Art Briles is fully at fault for a lot of what happened in there. And that's why I would have a problem with it. If the NFL didn't preach this moral high ground, I could deal with it. People make mistakes. You own up to them. He has a right to earn a living just like everybody else. I have a bigger problem in this situation with the CFL team.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
Right. We didn't have a pulse on that one.
What did you think? People were, oh, good.
Yeah.
Cool. Where is Hamilton Tiger Cats? Where is that?
I don't know. I don't know what part of the. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, well, what did you think they were going to say? What did you think? How did you expect when you made the announcement? Art Briles is joining. He's not the head coach, by the way. He's just joining the staff. What did you expect the reaction to be?
And honestly, when they say it, you know, I wonder what truly the influx of negative. I don't know how much that is.
And I don't buy that either.
You don't?
I don't. A tsunami of negativity?
Yeah, a tsunami.
One, that's a terrible choice of words.
Yeah.
Two, no, I don't buy it. Just like I didn't buy John Mara saying, oh, you wouldn't believe the amount of emails that I got.
Two.
Steve Bisciotti, you wouldn't believe the number of fans who have contacted me. You're right. I wouldn't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I think you were just totally taken aback. You were watching SportsCenter, and that particular anchor or talking head ripped you for it. And you thought, oh, crap. And then someone in Hamilton, wherever you are, Tiger Cats beat
article.
Writer,
yeah.
wrote an article or tweeted, and it got your attention. You thought, oh, crap. So now you want to translate it as a tsunami of negativity. You're lying. You're lying just like John Mara was lying, just like Steve Bisciotti's lying. But in your case, it's because you made a totally tone-deaf decision. And as you pointed out, you simultaneously have no spine to just own up to it. Come out and say, the guy deserves to work again. He's working around adults. It's not the same. It's not the same as what he used to do before. He's not the head of this program. Scott Mitchell, I'm the CEO. I'm the head of this program.
And you picked him.
He's not.
Right.
That's whack.
Yeah.
It's a whack move by the CFL. It's a whack move by that organization. And he can't get a job with the CFL, I don't envision him.
Yeah.
At some point, an NFL team is going to hire him.
I guess so. But even that, whatever that tsunami of negativity as they worded it, when's that go away? I mean, initially, because this is when the reaction is. Next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, people are done with that. Maybe sooner.
Well, here's why, at least right now, and it'll change with Art Briles, it can't go away. Because take away Matthew Stafford's big deal, which will be done by the time we're off the air, by the time the day is over, that's not going to be a news story anymore. But what will be a news story tomorrow? Ezekiel Elliott's hearing.
Yeah, whatever he said from there.
What's Ezekiel Elliott's hearing about?
Right.
It's about sexual assault. It's about domestic violence, excuse me. Well, okay.
Which relates
to Art Briles, which relates to the University of Baylor, which is why Baylor shouldn't have a football program for the next decade.
Hmm.
But no one has the balls to pull the trigger on that.
Right.
We'll come back. Worth noting, or we should note, because we're kind of I don't know how many people are following Houston University football, but you mentioned there's going to be impact from Hurricane Harvey, and there continues to be. Saturday's game for Houston University against UTSA has been postponed. You're going to see a lot of those coming forth in the next couple of days. We're getting a lot of top 10 lists in right now at 44-11-40. You can share yours, your top 10 Michael Jackson songs. And I'm looking at this one right now. Oh, Dirty Diana's not in it. Screw you. We're back with one.
Let's revisit that one.
Maybe we will. Maybe I think that was a typo.
Uh-huh.
Typo. We're back with more of the lowdown next.
The support is swelling for me.
It is not swelling. I'm going to tell you, this list doesn't count. The one that I just had a second ago, because it's from Jack. So anytime Jack calls,
counts.
Jack does no, because he calls to try to get under my skin, and he texts to get under my skin, so he doesn't count.
Jack.
Nope. No, because he named like 20 Michael Jackson songs. Says no, Dirty. Here's one. This one more neutral. Here is my list in random order. So it's top 10, but it's not a list of top 10. Let's see. We got Billie Jean, Thriller, Beat It, Man in the Mirror, Smooth Criminal, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Sorry, it went into a second text. The Way You Make Me Feel, Say, Say, Say.
Yes, good pull.
Wow. Want to be starting something and rock with you. Boom. Let's argue. Dirty Diana is a definite no.
That might be my list.
Block that person.
No.
Block.
That is a great. You would love. Those
it is.
10
a, it's
songs.
A great list. Say is not a top 10 song.
That's a good.
Say
poll.
Say
you
say.
Like that song.
I love that song. Say 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 is not a top 10 Michael Jackson song.
Are the others?
It's pretty close.
Yeah. So my point is, it's a really good song.
Here
it's
for me,
Matthew Stafford of songs.
It is not Matthew Stafford. No,
it's the highest paid.
You know who's? Give me an over. Is Matthew Stafford overrated? He's overpaid. Is he overrated?
Yeah, I think we properly rate him.
I think Billie Jean's overrated.
Okay, I'm not hating that.
Billie Jean's not in my top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the hipster.
Are you gonna
great
have,
video? Great, you, greatest performance of all time at the Motown 25. Greatest performance of all time. Greatest dance routine of all time at every concert he's ever done. When they do the breakdown, he does. Yeah. His feet are mesmerizing.
You're putting out two instead of one.
So
no, it's not in my top 10. I don't think it's in my top 10.
I
haven't taken anything
more than I would. Like, I'm going to know anything that was popular. So are you going to include songs? Like, for you, do you have stuff that the masses wouldn't know? And if
probably
that's the
not.
Case, okay.
Probably not.
Say, I mean, if that was the case, then I would almost say, how is Dirty Diana in the top 10?
The one I would probably put in, I think people know, but aren't, like, Ease On Down the Road.
Oh, yeah,
that's one
great.
Of my favorite. Yeah. Like, I freaking love that song.
Okay.
That's probably.
That's great. Yeah, that gets Dirty Diana out of there.
The Free Willy song is epic. That's from Brian. Good. Yeah, that's Will You Be There. That's probably in there.
That's a great one too.
We're gonna get our Michael Jackson top 10. Dirty Diana is not in my top 10, but above What's Up With You, block that number also.
Text of the year.
But above What's Up With You with Eddie Murphy, block that.
I don't think
block
I know
that forever.
Would I know that one? Should I know
what's
that one?
It's an Eddie Murphy song.
And
What's
Michael's
Up
in it?
With You? Oh, it's awful. Terrible.
Right.
Yeah. So is that it doesn't count because it's an Eddie Murphy song?
Well, no, it can count. If
well,
you, but
Say
you
Say
put it
Say
in
is a Paul McCartney song.
Okay, so then is Rockwell, is that a Michael Jackson song?
That's not really him.
No,
I
don't
think
that counts.
Hey, I'm just putting the rules out there.
What about the one he did post with Justin Timberlake a couple years ago?
Love Never Felt So Good.
Yeah.
That song is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
That song is fantastic. Yep. That's up there.
Oh, I'm making
it
up
Billie
there.
Billie Jean.
I love, so here's the thing. I love Michael Jackson.
I know you do.
I had Love Never Felt So Good long before it was released.
Okay.
I have bootleg versions that sound like it was like recorded off a record player.
His, strictly his version or
yep.
with, okay.
No, with, of course, yeah, no, it was his
it was
original
never meant to
recording.
Be done. Okay.
Yeah.
But the way they did it was really cool.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I still love the original version more than the Justin Timberlake
okay.
version.
I think it's going to be tough to be in your top 10.
I already have it. I've just started my list, and Dirty Diana's already in there.
You're forcing it in.
I'm not forcing it.
Pause.
Jason's always got to make things weird.
Yeah.
I'm not forcing it in. We will give out our top 10s. There's a look. Boom. 3, Human Nature. 2, Dirty Diana. Number 1, Man
2.
In the Mirror.
2, Dirty Diana. The second greatest Michael Jackson song of all time.
You guys
time
are just hating.
Dirty.
I like it when Chris
is with
me.
It's a great song, but 2, the second best of all time.
This is the second most fired up you have been ever, and both times have happened this week.
I'm just saying 2. You really want to go with 2.
Wait till my list comes out.
So we got to stay away from boxing with Chris. With movies that we think are good, and then Michael Jackson songs.
And John Cena.
True.
John Cena will absolutely infuriate him. Is We Are the World a Michael Jackson song?
I wouldn't put it on
text
list.
Line. Text line is
it
asking. Could,
I mean, do you think of it? I mean, he's in it, but I don't think of it.
I probably wouldn't.
He's got such a great library. You don't need to go there. I don't know. Fair question. If you put it in your list, it's not wrong.
It says, this will blow you away. I don't believe this. I need to see this for myself. This will blow you away. I just pulled Michael Jackson's top 50 of all time just now, and I kid you not, Say, Say, Say is the number one song.
No.
Boom. There's no way. There's absolutely.
From what list is that?
Absolutely. Some, probably Chris's. Probably from Chris's list. As you heard him mention just a moment ago, Vance McDonald, as you heard Chris mention at the bottom of the hour, Vance McDonald was traded.
Not at the top of the hour.
Or the bottom top of the hour. You hear it all over the place. If you were listening at the top of the show, you got a tremendous treat when he tried to read the story about Vance McDonald being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The press release from the San Francisco 49ers said it's an undisclosed draft choice. The reports are coming out that it's actually a fourth rounder.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad, but I actually thought Vance McDonald was pretty good given the circumstances.
Right.
For the San Francisco 49ers. A bigger story developing, you know, with all due respect to Vance McDonald, is that Cleveland is putting Joe Hayden on the trading block.
Woo.
He's one of the best at his position.
Yeah, there was a time where some thought he was the best.
Hey, Coach Jack Del Rio?
Yes.
Reggie?
Yes.
Just find out what the cost is.
Yeah, why not?
If we've spent three preseason games talking about our concerns about teams moving easily down the field against that Oakland Raider defense. Now, I know there are definitely – here are some of the concerns with Joe Hayden. Here are the positive. He's a two-time Pro Bowl. He's tremendous at his position, as you mentioned right there. Some thought he was the best cornerback in the league at one point. He's under contract for three more seasons with a base salary of 11.1, 11.1, and then 10.4 in 2019. He's been hurt the last 2 years. He's had two different groin surgeries. But he's gone through camp and he's gone through three preseason games, apparently just fine.
Okay. I mean, I think you got to kick the tires on it and see. I know Conley's just coming, you know, the rookie, but you're asking the rookie to be a savior too.
If I'm Jerry Jones, put your concerns about Ezekiel Elliott on hold, call the Cleveland Browns. Reggie McKenzie, call the Cleveland Browns. He's a difference maker on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
I have no idea what Cleveland could be looking for. I'm assuming draft picks because it appears that they just want to accumulate. They're going the Patriots route and want to accumulate as many of those as they possibly can. I'd make that call immediately. We'll come back. We mentioned the story in sports today, Matthew Stafford's contract. He's the highest paid player in the NFL. We know the highest paid player has always been a quarterback. But if you opened it up, who should be the highest paid player in the NFL? And does he play for the Oakland Raiders? Ooh, that's a tease. And our Michael Jackson top 10 coming up in the third and final hour of the Lowdown next.